Good morning and welcome to worship. Welcome to those who are joining us online as well. I think I'm going to hand over to Derek.
Good morning from me also. Have the intimations on screen. Welcome this morning, especially if you're here for the first time. Warm spaces, this is continuing. The church will be open on Thursday afternoons until the end of March, between 1 and 5. And most weeks now there is a film, and this coming week it is Yesterday, the Beatles movie. So that's this Thursday the 16th. The films always start at 2 p.m. All welcome. Discussion group is still meeting. We've not finished Advent, and we're going to meet on the 22nd to finish that book. Cycling Club is out this coming Saturday for our Christmas night out. Thank you, George. Keeping me on my toes. And next Sunday we celebrate communion. That's the third Sunday in January. For the walking group, we're going to meet on the 26th in the afternoon. That's a Sunday afternoon in the manse. I took a chance to say a thank you to David and Maureen Black, who have organised all our outings for long enough, and are quite rightly wanting to take a wee step back. So what we want to do is a volunteer for each outing this time. So have a think about that when you come along. Could you undertake to organise an outing during our usual period, sort of March to October? Some of the typing's gone a bit peculiar there. Never mind that. Kirk Session meets on Wednesday, 29th of January. And Five Carers still going on every second Thursday, and that meeting next is this Thursday, the 16th, in the, they're usually the manse. Burn Sangs Fest. Now, Alison would love to hear from you if you want to go along and hear the Queen Anne Singers on Thursday the 23rd in the Carnegie Library and Galleries in Dunfermline. Tickets £10. You can get them online or speak to Alison about it. And then finally, for those with us on Zoom, here is a wee look at the order of service. Thank you.
Perhaps I could also add that Fourth View Parish, which is the parish that runs from Rosyth to Aberdour, has two inductions coming up. There is an induction in Dalgetty Church this afternoon at 3 o'clock for one of the ministers of the team, and there will be an induction in Rosyth Church on next Sunday, again at 3 o'clock, just so that you're aware of what's happening with those who are near neighbours of ourselves. But that is, this is where it gets a wee bit confusing. It's Fourth View Parish Church, but they have several buildings, and they're using different buildings for the different inductions. And I think there will be a further induction to come. I'm not sure if they've got the third member of that team yet. If you want to know anything about that, feel free to speak to me. So, let's worship God. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. Hymn number 130, Ye Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim.
Oh,
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive the gifts we present before you. Bless us in our giving and our gifts in their use, and all to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And this morning, Derek is leading us in our prayers.
For the prayers this morning, I have leant quite heavily on the materials suggested at the Church of Scotland website for today, and the authors this week are Don Westwood and Leslie Ewing, who belong to Kirkton Church in Lanarkshire. But let us pray together. Gracious God, we come before you to proclaim and cry aloud, as in the hymn, that to you belongs all glory and power, all wisdom and might. We extol the wonderful victorious name of Jesus, and we honour, bless and worship you, who rules over all, with thanks never ceasing. Father, we come before you just as we are, knowing that we can open our hearts to you expectantly. Just as those who gathered by the Jordan waited with longing for the one who would bring new life, like them, we too look for your presence amongst us. Loving God, you are the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Cleanse and renew us. May we come to you with sincerity, humility, and a readiness to be transformed. As you revealed Jesus as your beloved Son, help us to see his light more clearly and to follow his way more closely. We bring our hopes, our fears, our doubts, and our joys into your holy presence, knowing that you receive us with love. Fill us with your Spirit, just as you filled Jesus, empowering us to live as your beloved children in this world. You are the source of all life, who reveals your Spirit to us and calls us into a deeper love for one another. Yet we confess that we often fall short of this calling. Too often we have allowed fear to limit our compassion, judgment to cloud our kindness, and indifference to turn us away from those in need. We confess we are slow to change, holding on to what is comfortable, instead of reaching out in love as Jesus taught us. Forgive us, O God, renew us in your Spirit, help us to let go of pride and selfishness, embracing instead the humility and grace that Jesus lived. Fill us with a heart for justice, a spirit of peace, and a love that reflects yours, as we remember Jesus' baptism. May we also hear your voice calling each of us beloved. Help us to carry that love into the world, to live with courage, compassion, and a commitment to justice. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus, our Saviour, teacher, and friend. And we say together the words that Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 213. Every new morning, God gives us freely.
Our Lord gives us freely, our sins are thankful.
It seems quite strange to think that a mere week ago, we were at the traditional day for taking down your Christmas decorations, and that was my job last Sunday afternoon. The beginning of January is a good example of the elasticity of time. Time passes very quickly, but looking back, it seems much longer than a week where we were still wishing people a happy new year. This kind of strange feeling of last weekend seems an age ago, and yet the week itself passed so quickly. There's a feeling of that in the way that the Gospels are written, especially the two Gospels that contain the Christmas story. Matthew leaps from Jesus' birth to the visit of the Magi, a brief mention of a return to Nazareth, and then we are at the point where we meet Jesus the man as he is baptized by John. In Luke, we go from Jesus' birth via a brief story of Jesus age 12, and again that leap to Jesus at his baptism. A number of commentators have said that the Christmas story is really there to grab people's attention. Matthew and Luke intend you to look at that story and go, I must read on. Who is this person? Unlike our society that tends to pack away Christmas and Jesus goes into the attic with all the Christmas decorations not to be thought about until next Christmas. In Luke's Gospel, there are distinct parallels between the birth narrative and the baptism narrative. In both, John comes first and Jesus second. In both, it is made clear that John is great, but Jesus is the greater. It's worth us remembering that this was not obvious to the people who met on the banks of the Jordan when Jesus was baptized. In almost every way possible, John looks and sounds much more likely to be the Messiah, God's anointed leader. By background, John comes from a priestly family and will have grown up with the temple in Jerusalem as his training ground. By appearance, John looks like one of the prophets of old. This is how they envisaged the great prophets whose words they read regularly in worship. He comes from the wilderness, a place associated with revelation, with God speaking to people. By word and action, John calls the people to a place of repentance, a preparation to meet with God, a readiness for God to act. He challenges the wrong behavior of those in power as much as telling the ordinary people to repent. John is the very image of what the people expect of a prophet like those of past times. Jesus, as he meets with John on the banks of the Jordan, is the country cousin, the tradesman from Galilee. Jesus looks and sounds nothing like John. But more than that, Jesus looks and sounds nothing like the person that John tells folk that he is preparing for, someone who is immeasurably greater than he is. So with that in mind, when we get to reading about Jesus and John, think of the people and what they saw and what they heard. We're going to read now from the book of Psalms, a psalm of David, and then we're going to read about John preparing the way for Jesus. Marian is reading for us.
The first reading is from Psalm chapter 29, verses 1 to 11. And it's headed, Worship the Lord. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare. And in his temple all cry, Glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. The second reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 22, and is headed, John prepares the way. The people are waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod, the tetrarch, because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Amen.
Hymn 481, Jesus is the name we honour.
Name of all other names, the highest.
there we go. In the Gospels, when we get to the story of Jesus meeting with John the Baptist, John already has a reputation and a following. He has quite a number of disciples. And of course, as we read the Gospels, we know that some of those disciples certainly become Jesus' first disciples. John calls the people to examine themselves honestly. And for those who recognize their need, there is a baptism that symbolizes their repentance. But John is a problem. The problem is John is one of those folk who treats everybody absolutely equally. It doesn't matter what your status is, John treats you as equal. And that is not great for those who think that they are somebody. The ordinary people, of course, they clearly need to repent. But the great and the good don't see that so clearly. John refers to the Pharisees and Sadducees as a brood of vipers. That is, the Pharisees, those who knew and kept God's law as they understood it, and those who were the temple elite, who represented God to the people and the people to God. Those who believe that they have authority don't like to become those who are under judgment. They went out to hear John to pass judgment on John, and instead John passes judgment on them. And of course, there are those who are clearly above the law and cannot be corrected. Herod the Tetrarch does not take kindly to having his sins presented publicly and then being judged by John, and probably to the delight of the people. When John declares that he is not the Messiah, he does so by presenting the Messiah as immeasurably greater than himself. The people, no doubt, interpret this as the kind of person who would have the stature of King David, or rather, the David that they thought he was. Because David has become a great hero, standing for the nation at its best. It's all too easy to build up the heroes of the past to a place where their human frailty is forgotten. It's worth remembering that David committed as great wrongs as Herod the Tetrarch. The difference between the two is that when confronted by God's prophet, Herod had John imprisoned, where David recognized that the prophet was speaking God's word and repented in sackcloth and ashes. The psalm we read is attributed to David. What we need to remember is that David is not in this psalm praising and trusting in God from a position of military strength, nor was he declaring his faith from a place of peace and security. David looks to God as more powerful than flood, wind, and earthquake. Before God, David is a mere frail human being. Too often, the powerful believe so much in self, they believe God has to be on their side. David's real strength is that he knows he can only be right when he is right with God. The power and majesty of God are beyond any king or leader. The people who gather on the banks of the Jordan to hear and see John are looking for a warrior king as their savior. Now, there have been failed uprisings against Rome already, and others will follow beyond that time, even to the extent where Jerusalem itself is destroyed. It is interesting that this period in history is sometimes referred to as Pax Romana. This period of history, Pax Romana, began with the rule of Caesar Augustus some time before Jesus was born and lasted for a period of almost 200 years. During this period, the Roman Empire grew steadily and was relatively stable. Of course, Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, was enforced upon different peoples. The Herod referred to in the passage from Luke is not titled as king like his father, but holds rather rule under Rome. A tetrarch was someone who ruled a province on Rome's behalf. Historians may use the term Pax Romana. Those who were the authorities of the Roman Empire may have understood themselves from a positive point of view. The truth is that for many people, the choice was either embrace Roman rule, tolerate Roman rule, or rebel against Roman rule. And when you start to look at the politics of power in the time that Jesus was born, it seems remarkably similar to the politics of power in the 21st century. There are certainly those who will imprison or execute anyone who opposes their rule. There are certainly those who look for compromise so that they can keep their levels of position or authority or freedom. There are certainly those who see violent rebellion as a legitimate reaction to a particular regime. And there are those who will speak truth to authority. There are those who have real courage in places of personal danger. There are those whose opposition to evil is good and godly. All of this tells us that the world in which we live is not so different from the world into which Jesus was born and lived and died. We know that Jesus is much more than the hoped-for Messiah of that time when he walked in Judea and Galilee. We know that Jesus is exactly what John said about him, so much greater in magnitude. Some biblical scholars believe that the way that Luke talks of Jesus' baptism reveals a particular difficulty. If Jesus is perfect, if he really is the eternal Son of God, what is Jesus doing receiving a baptism of repentance? And the way that this is presented in the different Gospels indicates that even the gospel writers, certainly Matthew and Luke, had issues with this. What is striking is that it is following this act that we are told that the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus and the voice from heaven is heard. The best understanding is that Jesus, in his humanity, has the same choices as us. And here the man Jesus identifies with us in our broken humanity. Jesus really is Emmanuel, God with us. God's way of saving us is not through force or power, but through love, and in that love, a weakness that is stronger than any earthly power. The world in which we live, in many ways, is not so different from the first century. Yes, our technology has changed. Yes, all sorts of things have changed. But in our humanity, we are the same. We see the same politics of power in our day. We see the same struggle to speak truth. But that means that we have the same Jesus who understands all of that and understands us and has promised to walk with us. When John cries out saying, "He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me," we know that we have the eternal Son of God walking with us in a world that seems very uncertain in these days, and in our lives which are uncertain in these days. But in Jesus, and through his baptism, the assurance that he knows who and what we are and has chosen to identify with us so that we can be identified with him, so that we too can be baptized, spirit-filled, readied to go into the world to be all that Jesus calls his followers to be. To be light and life, and to change the world for good, whether it be in a small way or a big way, in the way that God calls us to be. Amen. We're now going to sing the hymn that I missed last week, because Doug told me it was his favourite, and he's not here to sing it. So let's sing hymn number 270, "Put All Your Trust in God." Now, our prayers for others.
Let us pray. Loving God, as we reflect on Jesus' baptism and the blessing of your Spirit, we lift up our prayers for the world, trusting that you are with us in our hopes and needs and challenges. We pray for your church across the world, that it may be a source of hope, compassion, and justice. May we, as your people, remember our baptismal calling to be a light in the world, sharing your love with humility and courage. Empower us to follow Jesus' example of radical compassion, reaching out to those in need and advocating for justice in our communities. We pray for leaders of all nations that they may seek wisdom, integrity, and a commitment to peace. May they govern with justice, and may their decisions bring life, safety, and hope to all people. Strengthen them to care for the vulnerable, the poor, and those who seek refuge and freedom. God of comfort, we lift up all who suffer today. We think of what we read in the media, and we pray for the people of Gaza, with reports estimating that now over 75,000 people may have been killed since October 2023, and where the entire population of more than 2 million is displaced, dispossessed, or under threat. Throughout the region, beyond in Israel itself, in Lebanon and Syria, there are victims of conflict and the continuing failure of nations and peoples to find a way to live peacefully with one another. Our prayer is that one day soon there will be change and that steps towards peace will be taken. We remember Ukraine and the ongoing conflict with Russia, which has been ongoing for 3 years now. We pray for an end to the fighting there too. We remember other wars and conflicts that don't find their way often into our headlines, and we pray again for peaceful resolutions. We think of the people of Los Angeles. We give thanks that loss of life has not been greater there. We pray for those still fighting the fires, and we remember those who have lost their homes. We pray that in response, the lessons on climate, the impact of climate change, are not lost. Father, we bring to you those who are burdened by illness, loss, or isolation. We pray for those facing oppression or hardship, that they may feel your strength beside them. Grant healing to the sick, peace to the grieving, and community to the lonely. Help us to be your hands and feet, bringing comfort and love wherever there's pain. In silence, we now offer our personal prayers for those known to us who are in need. Finally, Lord, we lift up our own lives, asking that you would renew our faith and open our hearts to your Spirit. Help us to live as your beloved children, caring for others, standing up for what is right, and offering compassion to all we meet. In Jesus' name, hear all our prayers. Amen.
Our closing praise is hymn number 458. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Thank you.
to love and to serve the Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.